11, part one relating, part one of the ordinance is relating to permitted uses and to close the existing C1 district. Part two of the proposed ordinance, section three, is to create a new CR1 district. Part three, being article 10, is to amend the B1 district relating to conditional uses. Part four is article Roman number 22 to amend the height, area, and bulk requirements. This ordinance was also reviewed through public hearing on March 23rd of 2006. The ordinance was introduced and summarized. The commission discussed the ordinance. There was a memorandum received from John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning for the County Engineering Department. It stated that the engineering department has concerns regarding the ordinance amendment, that the South Coast Area Planning Study has cost $388,959, that the North Coastal Area Planning Study has cost $671,366, that numerous hours and dollars have been spent preparing these planning studies to provide sufficient sewer capacity for many areas of the county, that none of these plans have been prepared using the 20-unit per acre densities that are mentioned in this ordinance amendment. That if this ordinance amendment is approved as proposed, it would render all of the studies which have been in process obsolete. That the engineering department would need to know where these areas would be, how many there could be, to even start work to study the impacts that could be caused by these increased capacities. That the engineering department believes that a decision to approve this type of change is more appropriately addressed in the next update of the county's comprehensive plan so that the overall impacts is assessed properly. That approval of this ordinance amendment would seriously affect existing wastewater collection, transmission, and treatment facilities. This would also cause the county to spend more time and money revisiting these planning areas and delay important planning decisions. And that several important projects being funded by the development community would be delayed pending the incorporation of higher densities. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this proposed ordinance amendment, and the commission on March 23rd did defer action and has not yet met to make final decision. Just before the meeting started this evening, we did receive a fax from Dyer McCray Ventures, LLC, signed by Preston Dyer. I believe all members of the council have a copy of this. Is that not correct?
No.
No? Do I have to read it?
Sorry. Be better. You will make a copy.
I'm trying to get out of reading it. I've just read part of this when I was before the meeting started. It's addressed to council, dated April 11th, 2006. Yeah. Dear Mr. President and members of the council, please excuse the submission of my comments in writing as I had a previously scheduled meeting for a project in Milton. I will refer to the ordinance section and subsection for each comment. In reference to 115-83-1, the purpose, the text states, where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist, this should include existing C1 zoning or B1 zoning or commercial or service activities permitted under existing conditional uses, special uses, or RPCs, whether they currently are built and in operation. Number two, 115-83.2B, reference should be made to the total floor area of any building or group of buildings located on or within a lot. This should be added to 115.83.3.1A as well. Number three, 115-83.31B, states recently P&Z has started applying 115-166C, that there shall be no parking within the front yard setback for commercial properties. This restriction has never been brought up until the past or last 6 months or so. Has been applied by planning and zoning on any commercial project that I have been involved in since the mid-80s or any other project of which I or any of our consultants have knowledge. Planning and zoning's interpretation of 115-166C, which was passed prior to the highway corridor overlay zone in 1996 is not consistent with the need expressed by council when the highway corridor overlay zone was passed. The highway corridor overlay zone restricts the front 20 feet of a commercial project located along specified routes. If 115-166C already restricted parking commercial projects within the front 60-foot setback, then why did the highway corridor overlay zone need to restrict parking within the first 20 feet if it was already intended to be restricted under 115-166C? The point of this discussion is that commercial needs to address, or council needs to address, the front yard setback with consistency and uniformity in subsection B of 115-183.3.1. And 183.8A and 115-166C. Planning and zoning uses the rationalization that the restriction on parking in the front 60-foot setback is for aesthetics, as described in the Better Models for Development in Delaware. That book and the planning tool of locating commercial pad users, not large strip retail or large boxes, did not exist when the ordinance was adopted. The bottom line is that council needs to address the current confusion, inconsistency, and apparent conflict among these various provisions regarding front yard setbacks for C1, B1, CR1, and conditional and special uses. Also in 115-83.3.1, the side yard setbacks and rear yard setbacks should be 0 feet or 5 feet, respectively, when the CR1 property borders C1, CR1, B1, or conditional or special uses that support commercial uses. This type of setback is recognized in the existing C1 ordinance based upon the zoning classification of the adjoining property. Number four, 115-83.3.1C1, relating to access from roadways, should eliminate, and in parentheses, be kept to a minimum, as there are several cases where multiple entrances, an example, truck deliveries, alternative traffic patterns, are in fact encouraged by DLDOT. Under the cooperation agreement between the county and DLDOT, transportation regulations and policies is regulated to DLDOT, not the county. Number five and 115-83.3.1B1 requires a public hearing before the Board of Adjustment for any increase in square footage. This is inconsistent with the standard to create a large-scale use in the first place, which is a public hearing at P&Z and Council, utilized a different test and references hardship or uniqueness of the property and should appropriately be included in the conditional use section of the ordinance. Number six, in reference to 115-83.4A, should include accessory uses in the B1 district as well as AR district. Number seven, in 115-83.6D, should not be a special use exception under different standards of the Board of Adjustment. Mixed uses should be a conditional use. This needs to be consistent throughout this new CR1 district. Mixing the processes and procedures and confusing the tests that must be met to achieve the approvals between planning and zoning and the Board of Adjustment for similar deviations from the permitted uses in CR1 is dangerous, unfair, and inconsistent. Number eight, in 115-83.8, if the cluster ordinance in a AR1 district permits a 75,000 square foot lot, or excuse me, 7,500 square foot lot, and an RPC permits a 7,500 square foot lot, then the most intensely developed zoning district should provide a smaller lot size. Council should take the time to examine reducing the lot size to a minimum of 5,000 square feet in all districts. This should be done during a separate public hearing. Also, the setbacks really need to be examined, and also given the new layout techniques precipitated by the MPHU value housing and traditional neighborhood development schematics. And number nine, in table three, the front yard setback should only be 25 foot, not increased from the existing 40 feet to 60 feet. Council should note that this is a higher and most intensely developed zoning district in the code. Therefore, increasing front yard setbacks as a general rule is not prudent. And thanking for the opportunity to make comments, I will miss the fruitful and colorful exchange normally precipitated by our comments. Signed, Preston Dyer.
I think that was towards Mr. Cole.
No, I just think Preston has is a wordy guy. He likes to
write. Is that all you got, Mr. Lang?
He can really write.
That's the only additional comments we have, gentlemen.
Nobody got any questions, Mr.
Are you
going
to get us copies of that, Lawrence?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Because it was pretty extensive, to say the least.
You better have somebody there to interpret.
I understand that.
And we would like the opportunity to review Mr. Dyer's comments and make sure what section of the code he's referring to. We haven't had a chance to compare.
Right.
We just got him tonight.
Any questions, Mr. Colesdale or Mr. Lang? Any questions?
Now's the time and place we'll open the public hearing on this ordinance. Is there anyone here in support of the ordinance to amend Chapter 115 Zoning, Article 11, Part 1 relating to permitted use and to close existing C1 district and Part 2, Section 3 to create a new CR1 zoning district and to amend the B1 district relating to conditional uses and amend Article 20 to amend the height, area, and bulk requirements?
Down there.
Mr. Kramer.
Okay. Mr. President, it isn't a matter so much of support or oppose. It's a matter
public
of
hearing.
Needing to make comments.
That's correct.
My name is Dan Kramer. The first question I have, not that I don't support it, but I want to know if the thing is even legal. You're the attorney. I think you better start reading, because according to the law, this thing is not written in order to pass. Why not?
Can you give us your opinion why?
Every ordinance is supposed to have a clearly defined Sussex County hereby ordains. Show it to me where it says ordains on that. The one you handed to me when it was introduced. No place do you see where it says ordains anywhere. So I'm really questioning whether the entire thing is even legal in any form.
Just because the word ordains not on there?
That's exactly what the law says. And so you guys play the game any way you want. Now, as far as certain things in here, it's even questionable. But my biggest concern is, also in the synopsis, it says something about the 20 units, and which I think is a great number. I knew I'd get some heat, and of course, you know what, I got some real broad shoulders, so it doesn't matter to me. You guys can take all the crack at me you want, because I've got news for you.
Mr. Roberts, can you comment on his
report? As far as this here whole thing is concerned, now, let's talk about TDRs. Man, wouldn't this play into the whole thing? Absolutely. Instead of giving them the 20 units per acre as a given when they come in as conditional use, because that's what is going to occur.
Let's sell it to them.
But not the way you guys want, TDRs. And then they'd have to buy them.
What, right? Who benefits from that?
Why don't we get
what does TDRs do? What does the state want to do? The state wants to go with TDRs. They want to pass the law with TDRs.
Does that make it right because the state wants it?
Well, you guys have been talking about it. You're doing the same thing, basically the same thing.
So,
except some guy out here is going to go quail hunting on public lands, but is he going to permit me to come out there when you guys buy that land as open land? Are you guys going to tell me that I can come over there at any given time and hunt quail? The answer is no.
You got hunt license?
That's not the issue.
Oh.
You haven't got no control on the hunting license, do you? So therefore, it doesn't fall into picture, does it?
Not right now, might next year.
Huh?
Not
Mr.
this
Kramer.
Year, probably next year.
Get back on topic.
Yeah, Mr. Kramer, if we could get back on.
What about your first question?
What about the first question? He ain't answered it. It's up to him.
We're waiting for you to get
he's trying to.
All right.
He's got to be quiet for a second, Dan.
An ordained lawyer.
Yes, I am. Mr. Kramer. First of all, I'm not sure that the copy that I'm looking at is the one that County Council has, but I'm certainly going to take your comments under advisement, and we'll make sure that the ordinance is correct. I think it is, but I'm going to take it under advisement, believe me.
Well, I'll tell you what, you better read that law real close.
I know the law you're referring to, Mr. Kramer.
And what does it state? It says to be, the clear words are supposed to be on that form, ain't it?
Statute's clear what it says.
Anyone else, Ms. Cracken? Mr. Fowler?
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
I thought Mike was going to knock her down to get up here first.
As I indicated, I'm Mabel Granke. I live in Rehoboth Beach. And it isn't a matter so much of support or oppose. It's a matter of needing to possibly bring to your attention some concerns. And first off, I do raise the issue of how this conforms with the highway corridor overlay zone in terms of what needs to be done. What I want to bring to your attention, and I know that you know a lot of this certainly, is that you have a land use plan process that's going to begin to rev up. You have passed an affordable housing ordinance that is voluntary. You just passed the density trade ordinance. And now you're contemplating the commercial residential, which is a wonderful concept and could provide affordable housing. Because if you have housing on the same site as commercial, that means that some of the people who work there could live there. But what that comes down to is some very careful design in terms of how to work a site through from the standpoint of livability as well as attractiveness. And what I'm asking tonight is that I think there needs to be a very hard look through the land use process of how all of this coordinates. And if you're going to try to make sure that your increased density is around town centers and in designated developing zones, you need to know where you want your density to be and do some very careful thinking through in terms of, is it sustainable? Because some of our towns can't sustain necessarily any additional density right now. Some can and want it and court it. And so this is what needs to be looked at. And I guess what I'm asking you to do, too, is to pay very close attention to your engineering department and the red flag that they have raised with regard to sewer capacity, because this also needs to be factored in very carefully. Then I couldn't resist, in terms of the proposed ordinance itself, on page 3, you talk about how material storage yards should function and how they should look. So I have to ask you about Lowe's, and is that ever going to be enforced? Then on page 7, when you talk about parkways, it's item 14 near the top. You're talking about roads. And the parkway definition is usually used to think in terms of a two-lane road, very well landscaped. And usually you try to persuade residents that this is a wonderful thing because they really need it, okay? And sometimes you can sell it and sometimes you can't. And then on page 9, I did want to ask the question with regard to under C, point 5, how this is going to, and I know the density trade ordinance has been sort of referred to as some form of transfer of development rights, but if you're going to consider any kind of a TDR program, you need to look at what you're going to allow in terms of the number of units on a farm in relationship to the development rights that they're going to be able to sell. And with that, I ask that, I know you're going to need to defer it tonight because you haven't heard from planning and zoning, but it really needs a very, very careful look, and I thank you.
Mabel, can I just clarify something for you? I got the assumption that you thought that this was going to be like a mixed-use zone where you'd have some commercial and residential all on one site.
Right.
That's when you call it a commercial residential zone, it seems to me, well, that's the very real implication.
The way this is written, and you know right now residential uses are more valuable, they're more marketable than commercial uses right
seem
now.
To be.
Seems to be, right? And if that trend keeps up, anyway, you can do under the conditional use portion of this 100% residential. So you're not getting this
combination.
What you're talking about.
Right.
What you're talking about is not in this ordinance. That you will see 100% residential use. And our sewer capacity, we're not even set up. And then when you talk about highway capacity, nobody's ever planned for anything like this. So
well,
you're
that's,
not getting that nice utopia that you know.
Well, that's why I'm asking for a very careful look and a coordination between
ordinance. Well, it has to be
changed. Ordinance, yes. And
I think there should be an overlay zone.
I don't know, whatever this doesn't do that, what she's saying.
So, but
no, she's right. She's
you're
exactly
speaking
right.
of the Randall Aaron type of apartment over tile business.
Well, that's a wonderful concept, and actually we could put it to very good use.
Right. But, George, you don't like 20 units to the acre. Don't sit here and, you know, like you're adding on that you're it's a big deal.
Whether I like 20 units or acre, but the idea that she was suggesting Certainly. Of mixing commercial and whatever under this ordinance, you can do 100%, whatever the number you boys pick,
right.
you can put in here, right?
Correct.
So that can be 100%. So you're not going to get that scenario she was thinking about where people can live where they work
right.
and all this good
and
stuff.
And I think an overlay zone, exactly what she's talking about in certain areas, is a perfect
So that's
thing.
Another ordinance?
No.
Oh, in this ordinance. But it's not in this ordinance.
Well.
George, no, it took us 2 years just to get to this point.
Yeah. You 2 years to get this point.
No. You were here.
Mr. Rivel, I'm along for the ride on this order.
Let me ask the attorney.
Thank you very much.
Mabel, thank you.
Are we in a position at some future point to amend the ordinance as has been introduced to reflect Mr. Jones's desires, which I think are worthy?
No, because I think that gets into the issue of it being a material amendment, then you have to re-advertise. I mean, there's nothing to stop you from going through the process again with either another ordinance or an amendment to
Correct.
An ordinance that may be enacted at some point. But to tack on an amendment at this stage after it's been advertised and noticed and everything, I don't think we can do that.
Okay. Mr. Tyler.
But a requirement that a certain amount of commercial has to accompany any residential that is offered. Is that too substantial?
I think that my opinion would be that it would be. You're getting into the field where it's too substantial because it's not what was in here and what was noticed and what people relied on when they commented on it.
But there's nothing in the ordinance that guarantees an applicant any residential density. Right. I mean, this notion that we're going to all of a sudden start granting 20 when for the last 10 years we've done nothing but cut densities is a little bit foolish, I think. Is there anything in there that guarantees that they're going to be able to get 20 or 10 or even 5 residential units, regardless of whether or not they have a commercial component?
I would say that this ordinance still fits into the regular plan that it has to go through site plan review and everything else.
I mean, it's a conditional use, and council addresses densities on conditional uses every week.
Right. I can imagine that somebody applying is going to say that they're going to refer to the 20 units that's in the ordinance. I mean, the county's going to be hearing that all the time, but
sure.
You can address it in the conditional use process as to what the appropriate density would be on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Mr. Tyler.
Excuse me. And with respect to the conditional use process and the stipulations and conditions council's played some, the council could even say you have to have the commercial element before you can build your residential or you get your certificates of occupancy. Can that be addressed as stipulations to the conditional use?
I'm not prepared to answer that just because that's going to depend on what the application is in any given situation. You know, and I know, as you all know, when you get conditional uses, they vary from application to application, circumstances to circumstances. So I think that's more of an issue to be dealt with at that time.
Mr. Tyler.
My name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. A couple things. I think the discussion that Mr. Phillips has just had, I think expresses our concern for the confusion and perhaps some of the ambiguity that this ordinance is bringing to light. I think that Mabel Granke has mentioned the concern that the engineer has raised, and I would really feel that it would be premature for us to go through with an ordinance like this without really a closer evaluation of the implications and ramifications that this ordinance might create. Obviously, you're familiar with better models for development, and the six principles of better development sort of flies in the face a little bit of what the principles are, especially when it comes to maintaining a clear edge between town and countryside and how land is used. Mabel was pretty articulate, and I really don't want to repeat everything she has said, but one of the things, two things that I would like you to consider in my comments. One is, with the land use plan, we're sort of on the cusp of that happening. I think this really does not fall in line with what may turn out with our land use plan, and so I would ask not that you defer it, but that you put it on the back burner, and as you develop your land use plan, see if this will fit and fit into all the ordinances and all the things that are going to develop in the land use plan, and then see how it meshes and fits, because some of the elements may be good and some of the elements may conflict. And I, that's certainly that came to my mind when we talked about the Carter zone and also conditional use. I mean, I think conditional use has been totally abused by a lot of developers because, you know, if the condition changes, then it stays with the land. But sometimes the conditional use, I think, does not produce a development that was a need for the community. That's basically, if you know, it has to be some condition that serves the need of a community. And I'm not sure a 20-house condominium or 20-house per acre condominium serves the need of a community, whereas the barbershop, bakery, or other things do serve that need. So I think we need to have careful enforcement of the conditional use so that when someone comes for a conditional use, they ought to have that premise of why a condition is being sought. And also conditional use gives you, the council, and planning and zoning a better control to oversee, I don't mean control, better way to manage how that this all, everything does mesh, because plans are complicated sometimes and complex. And by giving the conditional use the okay, then you're prevailing by saying certain conditions have to be met so that it does fit into the community, that does retain the character of the community or the area that in which this is being built. And finally, my request would be either keep the public hearing, a public record open, if you choose not to put this on the back burner, but keep it open until planning and zoning hears it, and then have at least the opportunity, give the opportunity for citizens to continue commentary based on what planning and zoning may decide. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Burdett.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Kevin Burdett from Milton, Delaware. I would ask you to take a look at the ordinance, in particular section 115.83.1, and strike the words that say shall not apply to and put in its place no additional application shall be accepted for.
What page is that, Kevin?
It is on page one of your ordinance.
First page.
What that effectively does, what the ordinance does that is written, anything that you presently have in your chain, if this ordinance were to be passed, those items would be outlawed because C1 zoning would be gone. So we would ask that you, again, make that no additional applications shall be accepted for, and strike the word shall not be applied to. Going on further back onto page 5, section, or it's note number 3 at the top, I would ask that you all consider under the maximum height, change that, and bearing in mind this is under the big box or large scale users over 75,000 square feet, change that height to 100 feet. And I present that to you inasmuch as if we had someone like the Hyatt Regencies who wished to build an establishment in Sussex County, that cannot be done. A 42-foot, a four-story or less hotel is not going to promote a larger scale, nicer hotel. It's not going to promote around the convention center. And as this is a large box, and it's a large box application which has to come before you, I would ask that you consider taking that to the additional height of 100 feet.
Could they? Could they go to the board for that? Couldn't they go to the board for that for a variance?
They could, sir, but you can't get a variance very well until you have an approved set of plans, which means now they would go through the entire planning process and then have to go to try to get a variance.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Many people have told me over the years, Kevin, that one of the charms about Sussex County has been that we've had the height limit. We've gotten a lot of density and other things, issues, but it's because of the height density that we are different than other communities, and people appreciate that we've kept things low and we don't look like Ocean City and things like this. So you may see this in areas that towering above other uses that have been there and established and didn't think they'd have a 100, foot building next to them. So there's something about...
Mr. Cole, I agree with you 100%. About the low profile.
Exactly.
However, with the way the ordinance is present...
And I don't know if we need, a 100-foot hotel. I mean, where's the need out there? Somebody says we have to have that Hyatt or whatever it is to make our quality of life any better here. And it doesn't... I don't know. It just unbelievable. Yeah, I lose you on that one there.
Well, I believe our market is maturing. I think there are amenities which people want to bring to the areas. I've been contacted by numerous business people about being able to have a convention center, and talking to people who operate convention centers around the world, when you talk to them about, yes, we can have a convention center, but we can only have a 4-story hotel without begging and pleading, they kind of laugh so hard they fall off the other end of the phone. So I'm saying with this, and because it is within a subsection of this CR area, I'm thinking it may be very appropriate to put it there.
Well, many communities...
But that's up for your own decisions.
Many communities mature, and as they mature, they go less and they go lower, not bigger and more.
Remember that you're saying that just because we put the 100 in there doesn't mean that they get that automatically. It would still have to meet the approval process.
No, it would be a permitted use.
It would be a permitted use under the big box.
Right. But they would have to get the change of zone. I mean, we have none
you have
of this
the change
out
of zone.
There. It's not as if it's going to just pop up next to you without a public hearing and a vote by council.
Mr. Phillips, that is it exactly.
Okay.
And to a certain extent, I understand Mr. Ashman's comments, although I'm somewhat confused in that his comment is that if you adopt this, all the past studies are going to go out the window. Well, they're going to go out the window, but in those studies, were they assuming C1 was going to come to a certain percentage of the ground that they studied? And if so, how were they able to project where those C1 areas were going to be? As this is a new zoning district, one does not exist anywhere in the county here today. I think any new zoning district would have the same effect. So I'm not so sure.
New zoning districts could be created in old sewer districts.
But when the sewer studies were done, they didn't know what zoning was there. How did they apply their studies? And that's the only question asked.
It was all C1 on both sides of the highway, say, for instance, in West Rehoboth. They know, and they
then it's still C1 today.
Calculated six.
They calculated six something because they thought it would be used commercially, not as residential uses.
If I understand the way the ordinance is written, if a piece of property is C1 today, it will stay C1. It will not automatically change to CR.
That's part of our problem, Kevin, that the sewer studies that we had done in the past, and we spent, and I'm looking at the engineering department's letter here, they spent $400,000 and $600,000-some thousand, and all this planning, and we've been supposedly following these plans, but they never used 20 units, we'd have to throw all those plans out. And it says the numerous hours and dollars that have been spent preparing these plans, to provide sufficient sewer capacity. So anyway, all these plans would have to be dashed, start over again, and you're talking about, again, a ton of money just so we can have this Hyatt?
Mr. Cole, I would ask you the question, if I may, of all those studies, did they include a certain percent that was not presently zoned?
It would be nice to have someday we'll have the engineering department here, because I'd like to have that debate between you and our engineering department, because
My question, sir, to you is,
right,
was a certain percentage of ground that was not zoned C1 when they did their study assumed to be C1 when they ran the study? If not, then the introduction of a CR zone should make no difference on their study over what it would have been than if it was a C1 zoning applied today, tomorrow, or the next week.
That's one way of looking at it.
Also, under the residential usage, that is strictly controlled by you gentlemen and the Planning and Zoning Commission as to what the density will be.
Correct. And a lot of people have a problem with what this council has done in the coastal part of this county. A lot of people who live there don't appreciate what's happened with the densities and what's the congestion and everything else. So to put the, I don't know if there's a lot of trust out there, I hate to say it, in Sussex County Council to address the land use issues properly and to have such flexibility with 100-foot buildings and 20 unit, because Dale's got a comment in the paper about we'll never approve anything, we never have. Then what the heck we got it in here for? And then our engineer department says we've never planned any study for it. I mean, why are we even discussing this? And where is the engineering department in this crucial ordinance? I mean, we're hardly talking about it.
Mr. Stickles, you had a comment.
Wouldn't a 100-foot hotel be better in a town, like in the city of Dover,
sure,
city of Rehoboth, than me on Route 1 on Coastal Highway? And that doesn't, in the city of Rehoboth or Lewis or Bethany Beach, doesn't even come under our jurisdiction. I don't think you would want to see a 100-foot hotel in Harbison or somewhere on Route 9 between Georgetown and
Greenwood.
That, while we understand
on 404, it wouldn't even come under our zoning.
Nor, Mr. Stickles, would it be able to be approved by this council. They wouldn't approve the zoning for that project if it came up before this council. I am sure of that, and I'm sure Planning and Zoning wouldn't approve it.
Kevin,
however,
please.
I can foresee that there are areas in outside of Milton that 600 or 700 acres could be acquired and a retreat put in place. I can see that. Yes, sir.
On the Hopkins Farm, maybe.
I'm just saying, I can see
never mind
that.
Excuse me
you
for
know,
speaking.
Again, we ought to, like, the land use plan's coming up. If this is the way people want to see Sussex County to look, you know, maybe we'll hear from, you know, large numbers of people, Kevin, supporting these kind of changes to what we're doing. But
public
things have been,
on C1.
You've had
comes
it so
outside,
good.
If it comes outside the town of Milton, it should be in the Milton Comprehensive Plan. It should be in their growth area. It shouldn't be coming before the county council if it comes outside. It should be in the Milton's Comprehensive Plan.
They committed suicide a few weeks ago.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I was going to say, if we could get back on track with regard to the ordinance that's in front of the council.
As I said earlier, I believe the comprehensive plan is coming up. I believe the comprehensive plan addresses where you wish growth. I do not believe the comprehensive plan, at least that I've ever read in this county, says we're going to have C1 here, C1 there. It talks about growth zones and areas that we want to see growth expand to. The means and method to get there are always generated through the ordinances.
Talking to him.
After the land use plan is placed into effect. So I thank you, gentlemen, and I hope you consider those comments.
Kevin. Hello, everybody got their opinions. Anyone else like to speak? Anyone else like to speak on the C1 ordinance?
It does not appear that anyone wishes to speak. I would ask that you close the public hearing.
Mr. Rogers.
First of all,
before you do, this is not a significant thing. Mr. Lank, I presume I'm looking under signs, permitted signs, and I guess that signs, on-premise signs, are covered under 115.83-7.1, which says signs permitted and are regulated in the B1 district under
what page you on
there? 10. I'm concerned about on-premise signs. This very clearly defines off-premise signs, but I'm having more complaints from people that want to put their name on their warehouse, put their name on their building that they're building, and it's pretty limited on what they can do. And we've got, I've run into this a number of times recently, and I'm wondering what this covers.
This is,
it gives me real heartburn when you put in as specific an example that, it's happened recently where they've got about $10 or $12 million in this building, and he's got to put a real small on the side of the building. I think that we need some regulations, but I think maybe we need to look at that too before this ordinance is passed.
The majority of this ordinance is exactly the same as the C1 district that's already written. It was just converted to be able to create the new district CR1 with the provisions that were proposed for the CR1 and elimination the multifamily conditional use, et cetera. The ordinance presently existing allows for a 100-square-foot wall sign. Doesn't say building sign, just says wall sign, and it basically refers to one. It doesn't make any difference besides the buildings. It says 100 square foot. If you had a 10-unit building with 10 businesses, each one gets 100 square foot per business. If you only have one, you still only get 100 square foot.
That's where I think our problem is. I mean, I'll be specific.
I know which one you're talking about.
And he's got how many acres? 4 acres under one roof?
Yeah, probably.
And he's only got only allowed 100 square feet on the side of his building.
I mean,
I think that's wrong.
May I interject a little bit?
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with the size of that building, because you put a 100 square foot sign, you're barely going to be able to see it.
Right.
Because the sign that he put up and he's dealing with through the Board of Adjustment is 3 or 4 times that, and it looks appropriate because of the size of that building.
The guy is able to go through the Board of Adjustment and get a larger sign.
Sure.
Then what's the problem, Dale? I mean, if you've got a good reason, the board seems to be approved.
The thing you get into it, do you have, I like is it one way. Wall sign or a total square footage of signage?
What most municipalities you're talking about a big building apparently someplace.
Yeah.
Big buildings in most municipalities and even rural areas and some areas of the counties, they allow, like, if it's a Boscov's, for instance, and they got 100 foot tall and 400 foot long, they allow 15% of that wall or building to put a sign on. And most of the time, it averages out pretty significant. So,
well, the board in the review of the variance request for signage has their own little philosophy that they use in calculating what they feel is appropriate. It's not part of the ordinance. They just do it and see if it compares, and they'll say it's 6% of the walls, that wall, something of that nature.
But they don't use it, but they just refer
to try to get a comparison of that versus 100 square foot sign.
I'd rather see part of the ordinance. I mean, myself, I think that when you set policy, doing something like that, you're sort of picking it whatever you pick and choose. If we have the authority to set it, I think that it ought to be an ordinance form and not just a policy.
Well, it is an ordinance form, but it says 100 square foot.
Yeah.
And it's per business. Like I said, for example, you had 8 businesses on the same complex, each one titled to 100 square foot. But if you only had one large business, it still only gets 100 square foot.
Like strip centers or like outlets?
Outlets. Each store in the outlets gets 100 square feet. A strip center, each one gets 100 square foot. But again, if it's one store, it only gets 100 square foot. And it's difficult. And because almost all of them want to have maybe something less than 100 square foot, but they want more than one of them. Around the corner on the other
second
corner side,
sign.
Second wall. It's the second wall sign. So you had a public hearing with the Board of Adjustment for an exception for the additional sign.
Well, if this ordinance gets anywhere or not, I mean, is there any consensus from the council to look at that, to maybe change it to a percentage or leave it like it is? I mean,
I think you ought to do if you're going to do anything, I think a percentage would be a way, because that way there's no.
Well, it's not just
whatever size building it is, then it's a percentage, and that's where
if you're going to consider a change, you need it. We have to look at all the districts, B1, C1, CR1, anything that permits a sign where it's located on a wall. Or conditional use and special exception, they also refer to the same thing. It would be a minor change in the text of the sign ordinance to fix it.
Right. And if we're going to do it, we just will house clean a little bit.
Our sign ordinance is antiquated anyhow, as far as I'm concerned. We need to.
I think we're on schedule.
It's been too many years since
we talked about it.
It should be enforced.
Well, we need to deal with not just the square footage of the on-premise wall sign. We need to deal with some other sign issues that we've been discussing for months over flashers and.
We're not going to adopt this tonight. Is there a consensus then to get Mr. Lank or somebody to look at that? And
yes.
Okay.
Because, gentlemen, again, that is a separate issue from the CR ordinance that.
It's included in here.
Right, but based on the existing language of the other ordinances,
it's been lifted, right.
The whole thing's probably going to have to wait for the process to take place and re-advertise the whole thing again anyway.
Okay. All right.
In my opinion, Mr. Tyler had the right idea.
That's an easy.
Make a motion, we defer.
We've got to close the public hearing first.
All right.
Again, gentlemen, it appears that there's no more testimony from the public, so I'd ask that the hearing be closed.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second.
Now, this should leave public comment open in case it don't go on the back burner on this one.
We just closed it, right? Well, we haven't voted yet.
I haven't voted yet, but If you're not, if it takes a chance on staying on committee, you know, staying like it is, it needs to have public comments.
Okay.
Well, yeah, after P&Z and after some of the other.
You can leave the record open for written comments following planning and zoning's recommendation.
Right. Okay. Also, I'll withdraw my comment.
And Mr. Lank poses a good question that there should be a time limit on how long that record is left open following planning and zoning.
2 days after P&Z.
Mr. Stigler, what do we normally do? 10 days?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks after P&Z.
Whatever you wish.
You better make it long.
Hey, pardon, Lawrence?
November 2nd.
It should be based on a report provided on the planning and zoning commission, because the minutes have to be prepared, and you'd lose 3 or 4 days getting the minutes done.
You want 3 weeks? Is that good?
Yeah.
After their decision?
After their decision, or else after a report given to council.
Okay.
I like that better.
But what we do when we do that, we give you a report to council in public session, and then there's a record of typically.
Okay, with that, gentlemen.
I make a motion we leave the public records open until we get a report from P&Z office on P&Z's decision.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Cole to defer action.
And 2 weeks.
We didn't give it a time.
To council, then you set the time.
You set the time limit.
I didn't set a time. Would you like a time after that one?
I think
open ended.
Open ended leaves it on the back burner. All right, Mr. Jones made a motion.
No
to
time back there where that burner is.
Time
doesn't exist.
That you have a time.
Yeah, because it's going to come back to county council with planning and zoning's recommendation. I guess Mr. Lang's going to give the report, and then
we normally give a report and then leave the record open for 2 weeks after the report's given.
Okay.
60 days after
that. 2 weeks normally, or 30 days.
There, that works.
30 days. Is
that your motion, Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Cole.
2 weeks.
Leave public record open. And for comments after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months.
2 weeks following his
final minutes. 3 weeks. What do you want?
This is Mr. Lank's report.
Say it, Mr. Lank. What do you want? 3, 2.
Yeah, once I give you a report, it'll be almost after the commission makes a recommendation. I'd prepare a report.
3 weeks.
Get it on the agenda to introduce it. Then you can set a time limit, or you can do it up front. 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah.
Okay, 30 days. Questions. We're voting on the further action. Hear the comments from P&Z.
30 days.
30 days.
30 days.
30 days
after
his
report.
After his report, we close it.
Mr. Jones, I think, needs to amend his motion to reflect the 30 days after the report from Mr. Lank.
We'll close it 30 days after the report.
That's fine. Okay.
Second.
Motion and second. Mr. Jones, Mr. Cole.
This is difficult.
To leave the public comment period open after P&Z is done, and Mr. Lank approaches comments for 30 days. Questions? Mr. Cole.
Yes.
2 weeks is enough.
Let the record, Mr. Cole votes yes. Let the record show Mr. Phillips stepped out of the room. Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Next thing we have. Now we get into the planning and zoning end of it. We have three public hearings, I believe. And the first one's conditional use number 16.